Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
This week we're going to talk about a problem that plagues many of our patients. It's relatively common. It deals with leg ulcers. And by definition, leg ulcers vary. The following criteria is widely used: loss of the skin on the leg or the foot that takes more than 6 weeks to heal, and often much more than 6 weeks. Some of the definitions exclude ulcers confined to the foot, whereas others include ulcers on the whole aspect of the lower limb. Most of these start with venous problems, some of them in patients who have concurrent disease, but in patients without any evidence of diabetes or arterial insufficiency or any type of arthritis. The incidence is fairly high, about 3 per 1,000, and the prevalence obviously increases with age, so that when you look at 80-year-old, about 20 out of every 1,000 of them have had a problem with leg ulcers. Lots of implications relative to cost. This is an expensive condition to treat, and we haven't really understood the most effective treatment for this. People with leg ulcers generally have a poorer quality of life than age-matched controls, particularly in the areas related to pain and mobility. Mark's going to take a look this week from a BMJ, British Medical Journal study, which asks the question, which dressing is best when used under a pressure bandage for venous ulcers? So, Mark, what did the authors find?
Well, this is an area where a lot of people who are experts claim that they know what is best, but, you know, I guess whenever I hear that, I always have to wonder, do they really know, or do they just think they know what's best or believe they know what's best? And, you know, when we talk about practice, I think it's important that we distinguish between when we know something and when we think something is true. So to figure out which one is actually best, the authors did a meta-analysis. And again, they were focusing on venous leg ulcers. They excluded patients with diabetic or arterial ulcers. And they did a really good search of the literature. They looked at 4 different databases, not just PubMed. They looked at conference proceedings. And they even contacted experts in the field and manufacturers to see if they had any unpublished studies. They found 42 studies enrolling a total of almost 1,000 patients. But that tells you there weren't a whole lot of patients in each study. If it's 42, that's maybe 25 patients in each study. So lots of little, not-so-good studies probably is what they found. All of the studies were randomized controlled trials, but they didn't always tell you how patients were allocated to groups, whether that was concealed from the investigators. That's an important issue. And they also didn't tell us whether the outcome assessors were blinded in most of the studies. Again, another important issue. Now, these design limits could result in overestimating the benefit of one treatment over another, but it probably doesn't matter, because when they actually did the meta-analysis, they found that no studies consistently demonstrated a benefit of one type of dressing over another, one type of product over another in terms of healing. And really, healing is the outcome we're most concerned about. So in this meta-analysis, no single product, whether it was a hydrocolloid, a foam, hydrogel, alginate, low-adherent dressing, very simple, cheap thing, was found to be any better than any other. And so that's kind of liberating, actually, because it means that we can base the decision of the type of dressing to use for venous leg ulcers on cost and ease of use and patient comfort.
So there's always the possibility, is there not, that there might be differences, but because of these the small number of participants, that they just weren't able to pick up any difference.
That's right. You know, one of the things that a meta-analysis does is tries to build what we call statistical power by combining different studies. There are limitations to that, though, and you want to be combining apples and apples. And whenever you have what I call the little crappy study syndrome, when you have lots of little studies, it's an issue, and you can try to combine them, and that's what these authors did, but certainly it's possible that there is actually a winner out there. We just haven't studied it long and hard enough, but I think really the state of the evidence now is that there is no clear winner in terms of healing, so we can base our decision on other factors.
This is a problem that affects a lot of people, and it seems to me that while it doesn't necessarily lead to death or serious morbidity, it clearly affects quality of life. You know, it's too bad that after all these years, we don't have anything that really is more effective.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, again, one of the things a meta-analysis tells us is where we do have to do more research. I think, again, it tells us that we don't know the answer, that, you know, we do have to do a lot more research in this area.
Always the optimist, Mark. Thank you very much for your positive spin on that. We look forward to talking with you again next week and going over another study. Have a good week until we talk again.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.